Do you know who I am? But you make me
speak fun, sir. All right, we're on the record for some after talk. Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Hello. Man, this whole chart topping trend of trying to get things up. It's like, when's up enough? Nobody knows.
There's no limit to the sky, right?
Like, imagine you spent like the last 24 hours calling in every favor you had, and you found out you were 9 in history.
Yeah.
Is that something to be thrilled about, or something that indicates that now's the time to really start working even harder for the next 24 hours?
I mean, do you expect that those charts are a long tail? Because I think that they are, and I think you're... If that's what you're getting at, if you made 8,
yeah, I guess so.
The next 8 are going to be pretty tough.
I remember, Tom, I believe it was you that way, way back 2008. Oh my God, 15 years ago. I remember asking you, hey, Scam School is like number 2 in video podcasts. Is that good? And I remember you saying, well, nobody knows. as best we can tell, iTunes runs in 4-hour rolling blocks of new subscriptions. And I don't know. It's weird to, here we are 15 years later with a long and storied partnership. And I'm thinking, hey, Tom, is number 9 in history good?
It's better now than it was in 2008. Right?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot more out there and it's harder to push up the charts. I don't know if they've changed. We still don't know how they make those charts. So
it does sound like
algorithms or what?
I did read there's some kind of like about rankings or something where they specifically say that they factor in a little bit, not very much. They factor in the ratings and the things people say about it, but they do factor in the rate at which new people are subscribing and the completion rate of actually listening to stuff. So subscribing and then not listening now, doesn't work.
Right. Yeah, because they used to not be able to tell that back in 2008 because you downloaded it and they never saw it again. But now that they've got you in the app, they can get a better sense of starts and completions and time spent listening and all that jazz. Yeah, I would say 9 is a damn good showing these days.
Do you have an itch?
The problem is 9 is never as good as 8, right? So you're always going to be like, oh, but could we push more? Well,
because at some point you got to say like, hey, some point you got to pat yourself on the back for this.
Yeah, it's tough because,
you don't deserve it.
Well, no, because when we first went out and got the interviews, that was more Brian does the heavy lifting as the interviewer. And then Justin has done the heavy lifting for many, many months of the production and refining and all of that stuff. And now we're back to the part where Brian does the heavy lifting on promotion. And it's difficult because, to be honest, it's going to be however it's going to be. But I also know that at this point, I'm not performing for anyone but Justin. You know, I just want to make Justin feel like Brian's definitely giving everything he can, you know? And so
that's your motivating factor.
Correct.
Right?
And being close to 1, but not at 1 just has me wanting to pick up the phone and call more and more people and schedule more and more promotional interviews and all that stuff.
Well, at some point, you should change targets from the charts, right? I mean, if we're still talking about the charts 7 days from now, that is spending way too much time on this topic.
Agreed. And
you should be like the next thing you need to go on shows. Yeah. And
when are you 100%. At the top of that bell curve?
Right,
that's
correct.
What Brian's trying to get at.
Today, Monday, April 10th, 2023, was designated as the rush the charts day. So that's all I want to do is rush the charts. And
Day's almost up. I mean, by which I mean not you're almost out of time, by which I mean you are naturally going to be done with this soon.
Myself
and you need to, yes.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because but, that yeah. that is not nothing to sneeze at, especially for a returning show.
Yep. Where everybody has already spent one coupon to subscribe once, they can't spend it again.
And it's you've been like right. giving people yeah. listens the past few weeks. Like there's correct. A like there's a lot of stuff that works against you that 8 or 9 is very, very, very good, actually. Right. Sorry, oh no, I'm only top 10.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like, you're doing great.
You're 100% correct, but it's like, boy, in this electric moment, do I just want to, you know, do anything for anybody?
You hear that? I'm patting your back.
Hey, thank you.
Boy.
So relaxing. All right.
You know what this conversation has done to me, though?
What's that?
It's made me go look at the Know a Little More numbers.
Oh,
because Dog and Pony Show also relaunched Know a Little More this week.
Oh,
I heard a thing about this. How much do you want to talk about in After Talk?
I don't know. I'm comfortable with most of it.
What was the decision to reboot the show? What was there? I'm an outsider on this one.
It was kind of a combo conversation of me and Justin, where I sent him the episode I did on OK. Which I was really proud of and thought it had some elements of some of the stuff that he does. And then we just got to talking and he's like, well, what if I, you know, came in and then, you know, give some tips and up the production value and all that. So we decided to do that. And this was, you know, the big relaunch of that with the extra production value and the different approach to storytelling to really make it extra interesting. I think, Brian, what you're talking about is first episode being RSS caught the attention of one of the early pioneers of RSS, Dave Weiner on Mastodon. Dave Weiner is an interesting fellow, big fan of Tech TV, was always a big supporter of it, but also he's a guy who's openly critical of things. He doesn't hold back. So when I saw that he was responding to it, I was incredibly nervous, especially because with Justin on board, we didn't do the Tom Sober treatment of RSS. We did a little song and dance treatment of RSS, which is a little bit different. I thought it was worthwhile. You know, but it was definitely not exactly the same way that we'd always do it. So I was happy when I saw that he was criticizing it, and he had one flat out, you got this wrong, that I have already gone in and changed in the script, and I plan to do, you know, a re-recording to fix that part of it. That was helpful. He had a lot of things where he said, like, I don't remember it like that. It wasn't that dramatic. I don't like that he did this, et cetera. That I was like, oh, if this is his criticism.
Yeah. All of that is like, look, yeah. I'm sorry. We're here for the bombastic, over the top, you know, campfire tales. Like as long as we get our facts right. And it sounds like there was,
yeah.
One fact that wasn't exactly right.
There was one fact that I will 100% admit, like, nope, got that wrong. My fault.
Right.
There were some other things where it's like open to interpretation. He thought that I played some things up too much. I don't think I did. So that's just a difference of opinion. And I was willing to give him all the benefit of the doubt and do an interview with him and say, hey, you tell me what you got wrong. I'm not going to fight with you about it. Let's do a correction episode where you just give your perspective. And he responded to that Mastodon post with a link to his own podcast where he did that, which is fair to be like, yeah, I'm not going to do it for you and your thing. I'm going to do it for me. So he did.
Got it. Okay.
I have now sent him an email saying, hey, is it okay if I excerpt that? Because that's your copyright. We'll see if he responds to that. But I will do a correction episode where I address all this.
The version I had, I'm not going to say that this is what Justin said, but what I heard was that he had recorded a 20-minute response and that you didn't want to run it. But now I'm hearing that it's some stuff that already was out there and he just
he recorded a response.
Okay.
Like he recorded it that day. He posted it that day. So it was a response to the RSS episode. He never mentions my episode in it because I don't think he wants to give it any promotion, which is, again, totally fair. But it's copyrighted him. So I offered him the interview and he didn't say yes or no. He just responded with a link to that thing that he recorded that day. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is your response. I get that. And then I sent an email today saying, hey, do you mind if I, you know, excerpt from this? Cause we want to do a corrections episode. And I don't know, I should check my email, but I had not heard back from him.
Yeah. There's been a couple of minutes that I've encountered some folks on some high horses, and they seem to shout like they have a clear vision for what I should do. And in the two examples I'm thinking of, I wrote a sincere email of like, hey, would you like to collaborate with me? Here's my phone number. We can actually make a difference on this. Yeah. And in both cases, neither party was really interested. At which point I felt like, okay, turns out this is more performative. That's fine. Onus is no longer on me.
Yeah. It's kind of where I'm at too, is like, I found all of his critiques helpful. I don't necessarily agree with him on all of them, but they were all reasonably based from where he's coming from. I found one of them extremely helpful. And I am interested in, you know, getting the record, you know, with all of its various perspectives out there in front of people. And if he wants to cooperate to do that, great. If he doesn't, that's fine. That's his prerogative. He doesn't have to. He's under no obligation. I hope that he'll let me at least excerpt stuff so I can say, here's what he thinks to people. But I also understand nervousness around that. Like, oh, you're going to take me out of context and stuff like that. So maybe he won't want to for worries about that. I will, at the very least, point people there and say, hey, he's, and I already have, I've retweeted it on Mastodon and Twitter to be like, hey, if you liked my episode, here's Dave's perspective on the founding of RSS.
Yeah. It is interesting, the style guide of like telling a very, very good story versus reporting the facts as, I mean, are you telling a story or are you reporting? Are you making a salt or are you just telling me the ingredients that go into it?
And honestly, there's, except for the one thing I got wrong, which again, I will continue to repeat. Yep. I totally boofed that one. I got it wrong and I'll fix it. The other things are tone of voice stuff. I don't like the way it sounded like he was implying there was something wrong with this. You know?
All of that boils down to, if I was doing it, it would sound different. In which case, the response is, cool, why don't you do it?
Yeah, or why don't you join me and tell me how your tone of voice would be on it and why? So, and all of those things are legit.
If I don't
feel like I need to correct for tone of voice. The only thing one of the other things is he did say like, well, it was very, I liked that he credited the New York Times with popularizing RSS 2.0. I wish he would have also given credit to Wired and these other publications. And to me, it was like, well, that was just for time. At a certain point, you have to simplify the story. And in one time period, I gave the credit to my Netscape. In another time period, I gave it to the New York Times. Yes, there were plenty of others, and I tried to phrase it like the New York Times popularized and lots of others followed. My Netscape made this open, and then other people used it as well without getting bogged in and to drawing the line at who else was part of it.
And that's something that Justin and I have talked about like on purpose for World's Greatest Con is our style guide is three, maybe four humans get an actual name. Everybody else is this guy. With that guy, or picture this person and then use that nickname from then on. And that's, again, it's like humans love simple stories. Sorry, that's how we were growed.
That's just how the brain works. Yeah. No, it's true. And so, yeah, if you start running down a list, people tune out and then they don't hear the next thing you say.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting pulled away because people are arguing with me on Twitter.
Don't look at Twitter. Turn it off. Don't listen to
that. I was checking to see if
you're reachable. Oh, yeah. Sorry. You were.
It was really great. My daughter came back from her freshman year at college. And we had an hour-long debate about theory of mind, and including stuff that I didn't learn about until my very last year in advanced neurochemistry linguistics or whatever, talking about like the AI metaphor of the Chinese translation problem and other stuff. Like second semester, we're able to talk that same language and pushing back and forth. And she was talking about representation in the brain of, you know, the basic level, advanced level. This is a representation of a representation or of all that. It was really remarkable. And then we played Quiplash and it was awesome.
That's great, man. That's all. That's awesome. That's good stuff.
How to use this today?
What's that? What?
How to use this today?
Pan?
To what? Defeat a burglar?
To get rid of that lizard.
What?
Oh.
Did you smack him?
I wish. Oh. No, I was trying to. I had to scare him out of those studio.
Okay.
And then I was so loud that Jeff and
David
and the other one Jacob were out here and just they heard me from inside the studio because I had all the doors open so the thing would go out. It's go, get out! Get out! Go! Get out!
Okay.
And so they helped me shoo him out. Jeff.
So he did make it out.
He did. Jeff. Okay. Jeff even picked him up, which was.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, can I tell you a quick story? Previously, we had talked about this lizard that was very cozy, and I went up and I tried to kind of kick him, and he wouldn't go.
He's not scared.
He was not scared. I compared him to my dog Joy, my Weimaraner, who was just like ghost, and he would walk a few inches and then stop. Do you know who that lizard respects? The actual dog, Joy, who I brought in here. And all of a sudden, Joy goes bounding. And I saw that same lizard freaking bolt across the room without stopping because they knew that
okay, dog isn't playing.
Humans are nonsense. That dog is a real thing.
Yeah. That dog is a credible threat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I got my surprise and my shriek in, so I'm sure we'll come back soon.
Okay.
That's what he wants, Bryce. That's what he wants.
He should be eating more of the crickets. I saw a cockroach the other day. Him. It needs to be better. If it's gonna stick around, if it wants to be a studio lizard.
If it wants to pay rent.
It needs to pay rent.
Yeah, pay rent. Yeah,
it needs to eat the crickets. No, that's fair.
All right. Bye.
Speaking of crickets, I gotta make my dinner. So.
Yeah. Thanks for being supporters, everybody. Thanks, everybody. Joining us another week.
Love you guys. World's greatest con. All. Let's get it above number 9 on the history charts.
Number 9?
Number 9? Number 9?